chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read the first five verses. Maybe I won't get through them all. Maybe I will. It is hard to know. Great plans go awry. We have a cool picture today representing God the right way. You have to tell me, I'm not getting it today. It's just, okay, over my head. That's a cassette tape. That's good. I didn't even know you knew what a cassette tape was, Abby. So that just encourages me right there. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Let's read this, and that'll be where we will we'll launch and have our message from today. Paul, again, writing to this dear son in the faith, this not son by blood, but son by the blood of Christ. He's a believer, Timothy, and Paul and Timothy had this closeness that would rival any blood father and son relationship. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to Timothy, says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." Verse 2. "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if any man teach otherwise, then these next two verses apply. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Title of the message this morning, representing God the right way, representing God the right way. Last Sunday, you remember this section we're going through is practical Christian living. It's just real good stuff. This morning you'll see it really deals with employee-employer relationship. Aren't you glad that you didn't live in the first century? It wasn't necessarily employee-employer relationship. It was slave and slave-owner relationship. So we have a little bit more flexibility today, though the principle will apply to us. How do we behave when we work for somebody? And so, like I said last week, all of this, most of the world would not disagree with. They'd probably disagree and they'd feel uncomfortable with the end of verse 2 and verse 3, 4, and 5 because it deals with the teachings and truths of the entirety of the Word of God. But last week I asked you, I said, do you have the evidence in your life that you are a true believer? In essence, what I was asking, do you have a testimony? Do you have a story? Do you know that there was a time that you were headed to hell, lost in your sin? You may have been religious, but you were lost. But then you repented and put your faith in Christ, and there is a time that you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You understand that. I do love interaction and discussion with messages. Someone came up to me this week, and it was very encouraging because it was I was going to talk about it again this week, but I love this. Generally speaking, believers, when a preacher will challenge, you know, whether you're in the faith, when a preacher will challenge, are you a Christian? Usually it's Christians that examine themselves and they cannot see and they say, oh, my sin is so overwhelming. And the Christian's usually one that's bothered. The lost person's not bothered. But I had someone that I'm convinced is a Christian, but that person's here, but don't get confidence in this pastor's opinion. but tenderly and beautifully they said, you know, I look back at my life and I'm not sure. You know, there were gaps in my life and I wasted portions of my life and what does that mean? Well, I want you to know this is important. I was able to tell this person this week. That's a testimony. Because what the Bible says is he will not let his children go. And when the Bible says that true believers will persevere and they will continue, it's not because you're so wonderful. It's not because I'm so awesome. That's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a testimony where God will not let you go? Where you may have wanted to go and you say, I want to quit. I wish I could quit, but you can't quit. Because I will tell you, a true believer cannot permanently turn his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have horrible, terrible, dark, wretched moments of just evil and sin and some of the things that can cross our minds. It will make us think, how could I ever be blood bought? How could I ever be a Christian? But he won't let you go. You see, that's the testimony. You see, I do think we ought to look for fruit. We ought to see evidence that there's been a work of God in our life, and you should examine your tree. Is there the fruit of godliness? Is there the fruit of a love for Christ? Is there a fruit for a love for the lost? Is there truly? But I want to tell you what we should look for. Do you see the evidence of God in your life? That you have the evidence that you're His. You see, because He tells us He treats His children differently than those that aren't His children. That's the same way you and I parent. You know, I've never disciplined any other children that weren't mine. And so I love my children more than I love your children. I wish I was such a great pastor that I could look at Stephen and say, I love your girls as much as I love mine. I don't. And I'm embarrassed about that. I wish I could. I wish, and I think I can in Christ. I refuse to, I guess. But I love my girls. I want you to love yours, right? But that's the way God is. See, He loves His children with a special love. And He loves you so much, He'll spank you. Right? And I want to just beg you again today that, do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony of God's grace in your life? Do you have a testimony that says, you know what? There's nothing good about my life, but boy, Jesus, He has been amazing. Jesus. And your testimony, remember, the greatest thing about any testimony, it ought to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and I love that comment because we ought to be doers of the word. The Bible says that. But our hope needs to be in Christ. And there ought to be a testimony. There ought to be evidence. You see, too many people sit in preaching of God's word and they may agree with everything the preacher says, but it's never changed their life. Testimony. Now let's look at this. It's representing God the right way. And let's look at verse 1. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Why? That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. So understand this, when we try to represent God the right way, the first thing we would learn is don't blaspheme the name and doctrine of God. Don't do that. Now here's what I love. There is an inference in verse 1 that I think is fascinating that I want us to think about. It says, let as many servants, and that would be the word bond servant there, so these were probably slaves. The Bible doesn't condone that kidnapping of men or women or children and putting them in bondage. That's evil. Always has been. It's wicked and wrong. But here's what's interesting. If a believer was in that situation in the first century, what was the instruction that Paul gave Timothy to preach to these slaves? Because you got to understand, the Roman Empire, when they would go and conquer a nation, one of the joys of conquering a nation was not only that you would get their gold and silver and all of the goods from those countries that you conquered, but that you would bring in free labor. All you had to provide was room and board. Evil, wrong, wicked, never condoned. But then the instruction is, now this is, see, got to understand, because of the instruction to those under bondage and in slavery, it doesn't mean that God supports it, but then it says, how should a Christian respond? Because you got to understand, Christianity is so radically different than the world that it doesn't make sense. And Paul says, he doesn't say, well, run. He doesn't. He says that you should count them worthy of honor. Now, it's very similar. Very similar where the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And there are some horrible parents in this world. Bible doesn't distinguish. It doesn't say you can trash parents that are horrible. You can hate them. You can despise them. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says honor them. And it says honor these masters. And it doesn't distinguish between the good ones and the bad ones. And here's the clear distinguishment. God understands the plight of bad parenthood. Of these people that would be instructed to honor these evil, lost, godless masters. He says, show honor, but he lifts them up and gets their eyes on the right thing. It's so that the name of God and His doctrine and His teachings are not blasphemed. That's why there's a greater purpose in it all. But I do want you to understand there is something that's inferred that I think is just fascinating to me. It is apparently, and I believe this, every believer will be known. Everybody should know that you are a follower of Jesus. How they find that out? Probably mostly is because of your testimony and your witness of Jesus Christ. And then what happens when you're a person that is just you understand God saved me so that I can glorify Him. And the greatest way to glorify God is to lift up His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you start doing that, word will get around real quick. So you need to tell people when you interact with them, hey, God put somebody into your life. There's a purpose, and that's to glorify and honor Jesus Christ. But the word will get around. The word got around when I was at P&G for years. I told you I did this not because I'm a great guy, but I wanted to make myself accountable when new people would come and begin to work for me, and I would sit them down and they all, apparently the word got around, but I would tell them, I would say, I want to tell you this. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. That is everything to me. I believe that the reason I'm at Procter & Gamble is because Jesus Christ wants me here. I know I have a job to do. But everything I do revolves around Jesus Christ. You can tell me you never want me to talk about Jesus Christ, and I never will. I want you to know it's who I am, what I am, and I will talk about Him a lot. But if you don't want me to, I won't. And I would also tell them this. If I behave in a way that is unchristian, and most people have no idea what biblical Christianity is about, I didn't worry about that. I didn't say, let me teach you first before you rebuke me. I said, if I behave in a way that you don't think is Christian, I want you to confront me, and I promise you, I will not count that against you. I'm here to judge you on your work and your work alone. If you do a great job, I will reward you. I did that all the time. Not because I'm a great guy, just because I wanted to be accountable. And situations would get to where I had to tuck my tail between my legs and go back and say, I did not behave like a Christian. I got angry. I yelled at you. There would be times, it's crazy, right? Crazy in white collar situations that there'd be shouting matches, right? And I can outshout anybody. Sin, wrong, right? I look back and I think, you know, I needed to understand 1 Timothy 6:1. Always have that in mind. 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 I behave well because it's about God. I behave well because I want to honor Him. I behave well because of the name of God. I behave well because if I don't, people are going to have a false understanding of who my God is. They won't understand truth. But eventually the word got around. So when people would come and work for me, they would be nervous. They would think I was trying to convert them. You know, I would share the gospel, right? But in that first meeting, right, after I was there a while, they weren't as young, but early on in my career when they were younger, right, in their 20s, they would look so nervous, and I'd be like, it's okay. It's okay. And you know, it's good. But so I want to ask you this. Do people know that you're a Christian? Because it doesn't start out with verse 1 and it says, let as many servants that are known to be Christians. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. I just want you to know, a true Christian will be known to be a Christian. And it'll happen quickly, right? It'll happen quickly. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. You don't have to be mean about it. It'll come through, and you can even, I'm telling you, if you try to hide it, it's going to come out that you're a Christian. Abby will tell me, you know, about work. Everybody drinks. One, they don't realize that Abby's 20. And so when they find out she's 20, they bemoan this. They go, oh, you can't drink. As though, boy, when you're 21, life begins. And they know. Abby will tell them, I don't drink. And she doesn't tell it to be, you know, she just tells them because it'll, and they're all shocked. Only one other young lady that you know of in all the nurses don't drink, right? Abby's like, glad the messages aren't going up on the website as fast right now. How many of your nurses are going to listen? I do pass out cards when I go. But anyway, it's understand this. Do people know you're a Christian? I will tell you this, if people don't know you're a Christian, that should be a red flag for you. You don't have to wear a neon sign. You don't have to wear t-shirts. You don't have to have bumper stickers. But people will know you're a Christian. They ought to know because of your behavior. And they ought to know because of your love for Jesus. And they ought to know because of your love for people. Christians should be different. And I say should. We have to examine ourselves every day and repent of our failing with being ambassadors and representatives for Christ. But remember this, the reason why God would instruct slaves to show honor to their masters is not because God is supportive of this evil and this subjection of captivity and where they were taken from their homeland. He's not supportive of that. But he says Christians have a different purpose. Christians, everything we do is about the honor and the glory of God. And he says this. He says, show honor to them. I want to ask you this. What's the worst thing that can happen when you lose it with your boss? It's not that you lose your job. It's that you will dishonor Christ. You see, we don't think that way, do we? We think the worst thing that can happen to us in our jobs, if we blow it, the worst thing that can happen is I can lose my job. No, the worst thing that can happen is we dishonor our God. We dishonor our Savior. Remember that in all we do. And so I would tell the kids, what's the worst thing that can happen when you disobey your parents? I know that's exactly what I thought when I was young. Get a spanking, right? Did you ever get a spanking? How many of you, just by a raise of hands? Let me finish my question. I love the honesty. How many of you got a spanking by mama? What? I'm not done yet. Not done yet. And then when papa got home, he had to finish the job. And you got a spanking for the same thing by mom and dad. Raise your hands. All right. I did. So, you know, I will tell you, just because you know, I told Deb, I didn't do that. I didn't do that when we were, I told her, I said, and so Deb and I, we would do workouts, right? She could bench 350. And, you're like, she could bench 350? 275. And, no, she couldn't. But I told Deb, I said, Deb, when you discipline them, do the job. I don't want to come home and finish it. When the kids would disobey and I was present, I would always be the one that would bring the discipline. Because moms are with them way more than men. And I figured, why am I going to have her do it? When old Papa's home, Papa deals with the discipline, right? But I remember, right? Mom would get me, and then she'd say, oh, when your dad gets home. And I would dread my dad getting home, right? That is not the philosophy you want your kids to look forward to dad getting home. But I used to think the worst thing that could happen, because my dad was way more effective than my mom, but I cried a lot for my mom because it would just work. But my dad knew how to spank better than my mom. And so I thought the worst thing that could happen is my dad would spank me. No, the worst thing could happen is I dishonor God. When I'm a jerk to my parents, when I disobey my mom and dad, I've dishonored the King. You see, we forget that, don't we? You know, I'm going to give one more story, Abby. You can put the brakes on it, right? I'm not breaking HIPAA laws or HIPAA. I don't even know what it is anymore. It's Abby says, here's the thing. Abby says one of the things she tries to be different of, and it's hard, it's like a vacuum, a vortex trying to suck you in. She said she really hadn't worked in a secular environment before, so when she started working, she was blown away. Like every nurse she works with, they talk about all the other nurses. And then she goes with the other nurse, and they're trashing the bosses and all the other nurses. And then she goes with the other nurses, and they're just trashing everybody else. And so when you kind of figure it out, and everybody's doing that, guess what? They're probably trashing you too when you're not with them. And so, you know, the best way for Abby to deal with that is she thought, you know, I don't think I'm going to talk about anybody. Because everybody talks about everybody, particularly the boss. You see, I'm glad that, you know, I love that we talk about it as well, because it's going to be tough, because you're going to be so overwhelmed and influenced, right? And there's going to be people that irritate you. There's going to be people that do things just to irritate you. Don't talk about them. Be different. And you know why you should be different? Because it makes God look good. You don't have to tell everybody, you know, I don't talk about everybody else, so I don't think you should either. No, what'll happen is when you don't talk about everybody else, you know what? They'll kind of notice and they won't talk about everybody else. It'll be amazing. I believe that over time, and you're going to have to tell me if that's true. I tell people this, right? It's people will notice if you don't cuss. I don't think you have to say, hey, would you please not cuss around me? I never did that. But it is funny, I've talked to other Christians, when people cuss around Christians, they apologize. And these are the people that every four words is a cuss word. And then they don't know how to talk, so they use sign language because they don't know how to speak without cussing. And so, you know what? I delighted in that. But I never ever said, hey, don't cuss. It offends me. You see, I don't think that's what we should do as a Christian. Because I think what we teach the lost is, hey, if you stop cussing, you might go to heaven. See, I don't want to teach people that it's about good works, but what'll happen is when they see a difference in you, then they'll feel uncomfortable. And then, you know what you'll be able to say is, hey, look, I understand. He goes, I want you to know this, you could stop cussing right now and still go straight to hell. It'll open doors. I tell people all the time, if you came to Hope Baptist Church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that is not going to get you to heaven. And they look surprised, because they're like, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? I said, if you came on Thursday, then it would. But I said, three times, no. Just kidding. You see, because if we begin to hammer lost people about drinking, about cussing, about fornicating, we are communicating a false gospel. Do you understand? Now, I want to tell you this. When God saves, He changes us from the inside out. All of a sudden, what we desired before is what bothers us now. All of a sudden, there are new desires in our heart. We want to honor Jesus Christ, and our lives are different. And your co-workers will see that, and you don't have to tell them. But I tell you, you should be witnessing for Jesus Christ. But the one way I don't think we should go around is say, hey, don't do that around me. I wouldn't do that. Just show them that you're different, and share the gospel at every opportunity possible. There'll be people that'll tell you, I don't want you to talk any more about Jesus. And you know what I would do? I wouldn't talk any more about Jesus. But usually those people that tell you that, they want to know about Jesus just on their terms. I want you to understand this. What the Bible says is, honor your lost bosses, because it matters for the glory of God. Don't you love that? And it is so easy. You know, I think one of the training of managers, and I was a manager, so, but we didn't have this course, but it sure looks like it, how to irritate those that work for you, right? And you'd think, you know, I got my doctorate in that. You think, I work for the guy. There were some people, now this is so terrible, right? I needed to focus on 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. I remember this guy. He was lost as a goose. You'll laugh. I probably shouldn't even tell you, but it's just, I tell you this because I've been there. There is some humor to it, but then there's a sadness. I looked at this guy and I said, you are absolutely the dumbest person I have ever met in my life. I said, I couldn't put it in more simplistic terms, and you couldn't understand it if you were in preschool. Sin. Man, I felt good. He almost cried. I felt better. I was in the flesh. I never was able to share the gospel with him again. I never even had a desire to share the gospel with him again because I blew it. I know his name to this day. See, I felt good. I don't think he was that bright. Who cares? You see, I think we think it matters that we're right. He was an absolute jerk. He did things just to bug me. And I'd had enough. But I hadn't had enough of Christ. Because it felt better for me to tell him what I thought of him, put him in his place, than it did to honor God. Sometimes I wonder, and will I see him? You imagine one day he'd call me and he'd say, Steve, I want you to know the Lord saved me. And if God ever saved him, he could say this, in spite of your horrible example, God saved me. You see, it feels good sometimes, and sometimes you can be absolutely right. Being right is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor God. Sometimes we think, I'm right, you are an idiot. Bite your tongue. Honor God. For the lost masters. Then secondly, it says, what about saved masters? It says here, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Now this is interesting, right? It's interesting. It doesn't say that about these lost masters, but it says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. I do think it's interesting. It would be expectations increase, do they not? If you work for an unsaved boss, then you should understand that they're going to act unsaved. When you work for a saved boss, a believing boss, a boss that follows Jesus, we expect them to be Jesus. And when they act like us in the flesh, boy, we despise them. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to honor our Christian bosses. Do you know why? It says because they are faithful and beloved. Because God loves them. That's a good reminder. It's a simple reminder. Why should I like and love my Christian boss? Because God loves them. Okay. If God loves them, I probably should too. Right? I think that's a good example. And then remember this. This is crazy. A crazy thought. It's an easy thought. But when I honor my boss, who benefits? Both of us do, right? Now, your boss may not benefit you, but God will. Just remember, whose blessing do you want? God's or men's? When you honor God and you obey God, you will be blessed. True or false? That's true, right? May not be on the timing we expect. It may not be with what we want, but it'll be exactly what we need, and God's a perfect blesser. Right? And so when we show honor, when we do service under our bosses, they benefit too, right? And so it is amazing. It is amazing that It's so easy. Do you know why? Work is work. I wonder what it'll be called in heaven. I'm thinking that the Lord needs to change the name. It has such a bad connotation down here on earth, and it's so cursed. I would like to know what work would be before the curse. You know what? Oh, I just realized this, guys. I'm more godly than you. I'm closer to what it's going to be like in heaven than you. I only sweat on half of my face now. You see? Because I don't think we'll sweat in heaven when we do work. I'm halfway there. I just tear a carotid artery on this side and I won't sweat on any of my face. Maybe I won't be alive either. Who knows? But that's just a joke. So some of you will have to figure that out later. But it's this. We'll both benefit. And so here's what the Bible says. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them." Don't despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. Now it's important. Many times we have expectations of Christians. And the reason why we might despise another Christian, particularly despise a Christian that's our boss, is because our expectations are maybe unrealistic, or maybe we have a weak Christian boss that is immature and has a lot to learn. But what the Bible says is, here's what you do. It says, honor them because they're Christians. Honor them because God loves them. And he says this. Here's the trick. Now, this is important. Maybe you have a Christian boss. After a while, here's what I would always encourage you with. You know, P&G was a big company, and so I loved it. If I didn't like one boss, I would never have him as my boss again. I wouldn't tell him that usually. That one guy I did, but terrible. But I would find bosses. By the time I retired, my boss was a Christian and our vice president was a Christian, and that wasn't an accident. I would go work for different Christians and I knew them. And here's what the Bible says. So imagine you work for a Christian. I would tell you that would be a blessing. That would be a blessing. But here's what's going to happen. Your Christian boss is going to let you down. Your Christian boss, you're going to find out he's still or she's still in the flesh. And so you've got these great hopes. You've got these great expectations. You think, oh, what a joy working for a Christian boss. And then they let you down. This is the key. You work for a Christian. You don't like them. You're borderline despising them. And the Bible says don't do that. Here's what the Bible says, and I believe it's the remedy. Working for a Christian boss. You want to change the situation? Do service to them. Serve them. Suddenly what that does is all of a sudden we remind ourselves that I'm here to honor God. And he says the way I ought to respond to a Christian boss is do service unto them. Here's the key. Christian bosses also have expectations of Christian employees. Be the kind of employee that they say, wow, I wish everyone was like them. So if there's friction, that's going to happen in life. Right? There's no marriage in here. I mean, maybe. I mean, you come and tell me later. There's no marriage in here that doesn't have friction. Maybe there is. I mean, if there is, I'm not sure. I'm saying, well, then you guys need to be talking more. you don't interact enough because there's going to be friction, right? And then just because you can honor the Lord, right? When there's friction, when there's challenges, you can honor the Lord. And so don't be surprised that if you work for a Christian, that there's going to be friction. But the way the Bible says is he says, love them and do service to them. Because that honors God. You see, that honors the Lord. I would tell you, you wouldn't go wrong by serving, by humbling yourself to a lost boss. I will tell you, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, I mean, I tell you that story. It was a long time ago. And man, I was in the flesh and it felt good, and it dishonored God and put a wedge for years, I would see him and I'd be walking down the hall. And you know what he would do? He would lower his head. That's not success. That's a guy that every time he saw me, I made him feel bad. See, I dishonored God. He never forgot it. Oh, and you know when you're in sin, what you do is I made sure everybody else agreed with me. I've got to be careful. I almost said his name. Everybody agreed that he was kind of the dumbest guy they had ever worked with as well. Oh, yeah. You see, not only did I sin privately when I basically undressed him with my lips and just tore him to pieces, but then I had to talk about it. You see, I look back at that and we can't change yesterday. But I completely dishonored the Lord. I'd forgotten what it's all about. I beg you, right? What the Bible says is, look at this. He says in at the end of verse 2, he says, these things teach and exhort. He says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. See, I did not have wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Let me just tell you this. The truth of God's word must be taught. Now I want you to listen. I hope there's not many in our congregation that have ever said this. If you said it or you say it in the future, I actually want you to think. I've had people that I absolutely know are Christians, or I believe are Christians. I can't really know the heart and soul of a man or a woman. But they say this, oh, all that matters, Steve, all that matters is Jesus. Christians say that all the time. Here's what the Bible says. Anybody that says that, they're proud and they know nothing. I want you to understand that all of God's word is important. Now, I tell you this, the greatest message, the greatest story, the greatest truth of the word of God is the gospel. I do not deny that. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is the great message of the Bible. But God gave us 66 books. He gave us these chapters in Timothy because he said, now that you claim the name of Christ, how do you represent him? How do you honor him? And there's a whole lot that matters that goes into that. And so I hope there's nobody in this room that says, all that really matters is that you believe in Jesus. Well, that's important for eternal life and that you truly do. But if you believe in Jesus, you'll have a thirst for his word. If you believe in Jesus, you want to live for him. So I beg you to consider, do you love the Bible? It must be taught. It must be taught. And I'm just going to finish with this. It results in two things. Verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, it results in spiritual health. I want you to remember this. This is the objective. And we've got to remember this, right? I have a strong personality. And, you know, whether or not I have a gift of speaking or that, maybe I do. I trust I do because I'm a pastor. I better. It's also a curse. I can hurt people with my tongue. I can hurt people with my words, is what I mean. I can cut them down. I want you to always remember this, that the effect, the impact of God's word, the effect, the impact of truth is that we will have wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word wholesome, it means healthy. We will have words that will heal people. I don't think we should be have flattery. What the flattery is just by saying things that aren't true so you feel better about yourself. You know, I mean, the Bible wants us to always speak truth sometimes we need to be quiet. It doesn't mean that you speak all truth all the time. But our words ought to be wholesome words. They ought to be words of health. They ought to be words of healing. They ought to be words of help. And so remember this. There is a place in the Christian life for rebuke. But I believe that is the small portion of our work. The greater portion of our work is the wholesome words, the healthy words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus spoke, generally, His words were positive. His words were healthy. His words were good. His words were wholesome when you see what Jesus said. Now, absolutely, Jesus, when He dealt with the false religious leaders, He did not hold back. And so, if you ask me, the only place for the kind of directness that Jesus had when he was righteous in His caustic delivery was to the false religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. I don't see Jesus having words of just hurt. And so I want you to know this, right? That's important. You know, if God has, you know, every gift you have, every blessing you have is also a curse. You know this? Let's imagine whoever the smartest person in this room is. Do you know what you probably struggle with? Pride. Because everybody tells you how smart you are. Everybody tells you how wonderful you are. Everybody tells you how brilliant you are. Everybody tells you how valuable you are. And eventually you're going to believe them. If you're brilliant in this room, to God be the glory. He's the one that did it. You know, like I said, if you can speak, then your curse will be you can cut down like nobody's business. And you've got to manage that. Have words of health, of wholesomeness. Have the words of Christ. Remember this, be gentle. Be gentle, right? It matters. But secondly, the reason why God's word must be taught, and it's so important, is that it results in godliness. Look at this in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Understand this, real truth results in godly living. Real truth results in distinct behavior that's different than the world. It's that you will be godly. You will be holy. That should be an expectation that each one of us has. That as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow and we mature and our walk with Christ becomes closer, we may not even know it, but our desires, our behavior ought to be so different that everybody else will see it. And maybe we won't. Suddenly the television shows that you once liked, you can't watch anymore. Suddenly the jokes that you used to laugh at, you don't want to laugh at them anymore. Suddenly the life that just dominated you is not so important anymore. And so I want you to know that you can look at your own life and say, and this is what's hard for me. I can be a harsh person. And I bemoan that too much. What I have to do is submit that to God and repent and know this. That's why that video series that we had this morning, The Power of God. Do I really believe God can change me? There's sometimes I think not. That's my lack of faith in the power of God. God can change me. I want you to know this. When I am digesting and absorbing and receiving and growing in the Word of God, I will see that my words will be more wholesome, that my words will be more healthy, that my words will be more like Jesus Christ. And secondly, when I am truly, and I am truly digesting and it's affecting me and it's infecting me and I'm living for Jesus, the Word of God will lead me to be more godly. It will lead me to not love the things of the world. And my life will be different. Everybody in this room, no one's disagreed with, I mean, okay, maybe there's my spirit or I'm okay if you disagree with my behavior at work. I bring that up. Maybe it's good to humble me, but sometimes transparency, people say, is not as good. I'm not here to, this isn't about Steve Hall. I'm not here to lift Steve Hall up. I'm here to lift up Jesus Christ, but I'm here to tell you I struggle with the same things you do. I'm not happy about that. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to go to my grave battling. But I want you to know this. Everyone agrees. Oh, we all love the Bible. Yeah, we're Bible people. We preach from the King James Bible. And so we don't take a hateful position on that. We take a position with why we have that, because it's the text from which it's translated, right? And so you're here, and most people that come here that are already saved, they come here. One of the reasons are because we preach from the King James Bible. That's good. Love that you love it. But is the King James Bible changing your life? It doesn't matter if you're a King James Bible person if it doesn't change your life. We stand. I'm King James. AJB 1611. Amen. I hate you too. You know? You know what we ought to be? If we're Bible people, it ought to seep into us. And all of a sudden, we don't do it for show. All of a sudden, our words are nicer. Our words are more wholesome. Our words are more healthy. Suddenly, our lives are different. That can cause conflict in the home. Maybe a husband draws nigh to the Lord and doesn't want to be involved in the things that he and his wife liked in the past. The television shows, the movies, whatever it might be. Maybe it's the wife that's drawing close to the Lord, and the husband despises it because she's drawing, and the Word of God is having an impact. And when the Word of God has an impact, you will be more godly. There's just no doubt about it. I want you to know when you leave today, are you more godly? If the answer is no, then this is of none effect. It will. And so when I blow it, I have to be honest. I want to be more godly than anybody in this room. And I'm not in disagreement with you. I think the pastor should be more godly than anybody in this room. But I'm not. That's a tough one to deal with. I believe everything I'm preaching. I want osmosis, right? I will sleep with this if it worked. I want this to be my life. And the way it has to be is I've got to love Jesus Christ that much. That I cannot go without Him. I want to know this book. Not so that I can tell everybody what they're doing is wrong. So I can honor Him. So I can live for Him. Not that Steve Hall looks good. So that Jesus looks good. You know, I want to tell you that if there was ever a day, and I would love that day, I hope I would never know it, that I was the most godly person in this room, and I'm not even close, so I'm not even suggesting that. Oh, that would be glory. Because what that would say is, this book is becoming me. Do we want to honor Christ? That's what life's about. If it's not, maybe your prayer today is, oh God, let your word saturate me so that I become more like Jesus. Let's pray.